So in this module, in this video, we're going to continue our discussion of the marketing mix, specifically related to price. We're going to pick up where we left off on our previous video here. So buyer's perceptions. One of the things that any marketer's got to consider is the importance of price and the perceptions that creates with customers in the target market segments when you're setting prices. And we're going to lay out an activity for you here to kind of illustrate this whole process. So let's assume that someone, your boss, gave you the job of pricing two new products in the following fashion. Product A happens to be a budget hotel room, and the target that you're going after here are families, lower middle to low income families. Now, product B happens to be luxury hotel rooms, and the target here is going to be business people who might be attending conferences. In other words, it might be a luxury hotel that's doing a lot of business with high-end conferences, for example, that are targeting CEOs or senior managers. And you're going after the high to middle income people here. Take a minute and consider how important pricing is going to be to each of these customer or target customers for product A and for product B. So I'll give you just a minute to think that through. So the answer that we're looking for here is marketing is that actually pricing, to be very candid, is going to be very important for both of these products in both of these markets. And let's talk about the reason for that with product A. The price for product A to the low to middle income area, the pricing's got to be reasonable or cheap. Actually, marketers have a total aversion to the word cheap. So we should get rid of cheap and just say inexpensive. To reflect the nature of the product that's on offer. In other words, the lower cost budget hotel rooms. The price is often going to be the first consideration of this specific target customer. Value for money is just a key characteristic for them. Even if a $400 a night hotel room offered great value, I mean, they could have a whole palace for $400 a night, they're likely still going to go for the one that goes for $75 a night. On the other hand, in product B, with the luxury hotel rooms that's being catered to CEOs or senior managers of different businesses attending a conference, prices here are going to be much higher, but price is just as important to the business traveler. I mean, they may be on a per diem budget, for example, meaning that they have X amount of dollars that the business can reimburse them for travel for a hotel, or so many dollars a day for meals, kind of a thing. So they may very well be on a budget there. But on the other hand, in this case, the price has to be high enough to give this group of people a quality impression. You're not going out looking for a high-end hotel room at $75 a night, are you? You're probably looking at some of the lower budget hotels at that price range. So you've got to have the price high enough to create a quality or a perception of quality, but still competitive in relation to other luxury hotels that are in that immediate area. Prices of products and services are key in both the budget and in the luxury markets. It's possible to overprice or underprice in both of these examples in the eyes of the customer, and neither case is good. It's also really important that the price reflects all of the other elements of your marketing mix. In other words, it resonates, it works well, it's relevant to the promotional aspects, to the product, to the quality of the product that you're offering, so, and even in the place where it's at. So, you know, if you're in a small town in northern U.S., for example, in the wintertime, it may be a totally different price range than if you're in some of the resort areas of Colorado or in some of the warmer climates like in Arizona or southern Texas or Alabama or Florida. competition. Some of the companies who are selling products and services in competitive markets try to win customers over from rival companies. And this is achieved in one of two ways, price competition and non-price competition. And the first one here, price competition, is probably universally known. In fact, it's probably almost to a fault, actually, that it's known. And it's just simply a process of competing as a basis of low price. One gas station lowers the price of their gas a nickel, and pretty soon the gas station across the street's got to lower their price, or at least match it. And marketing people will tend to look at that pricing strategy of having the lowest price as simply a race to the bottom. Who's going to get the lowest price and make no money, no profit, and go out of business first? So what we tend to do, and there's a number of tactics that we will use to help people compete on non-price competition. But let's talk about price competition for a moment. Offering the product or service at a lower price than all of its competitors' products or services. Non-price competition is trying to increase market share of a product or service by leaving the price of its product or service unchanged, but adding more value for the money being charged, and persuading your target customers of the superior benefits and features of your enhanced product. Always try to predict what the competition is going to do when you change prices. An example of this is if you're in charge of pricing hotel rooms in a highly competitive market, you're considering a tactical price reduction in an attempt to gain some market share. And guess what the competition is going to do to respond to that, anything that you're going to do. They could respond to your tactical price reduction in a number of ways, actually. One of them, which is highly unlikely, is doing nothing. They're probably at least going to match whatever offer you're coming up with. If you stay three nights, you get the fourth one free. Well, guess what? They may very well make the same offer, reducing their prices to the same level as yours, or even lower yet. And then trying to stress the advantages that their facility, their resort hotel, might have in that specific market area. Competitive pricing strategy. Their reaction to whatever changes that you want to make in pricing is going to depend on the position they're in, particularly in relation to their cost structure and to their market power. If they have, so in the case of a hotel, for example, one of the things that could be a very big constraint on their ability to compete on price is the debt load they may have of, they have mortgage payments just like you have a mortgage payment on your house. And the issue here is if they have real big mortgage payments because they had to borrow a lot of money to build that facility, they don't have a lot of money to promote their hotel. They don't have a whole lot of money to compete on price. And that, if you are aware of that, you can use that to your strategic advantage. It's important, however, that you predict what the outcome of your temporary price reductions are going to be for whatever product or service that you're dealing with here. Kind of know who these players are, what kind of debt load they have for their hotel resort, for example. And you can start to figure out what other people are able to do to react to that. And it gets to a level where it almost becomes a chess game. If the competition is very responsive, it may do little to your overall long-term position. In other words, maybe they have kind of the same cost structure that you have, and they can just match you offer for offer on whatever you do. They'll immediately just match it. They may publish advertising that says, we'll match any customer's offer. Just bring the coupon and bring the ad, and we'll match it. But again, it might merely generate some extra short-term cash flow for you if you get people come in and buy a discounted hotel room, and pretty soon you've got people paying you for parking, you got people who are buying meals at the restaurant, that kind of thing. So, some legal and regulatory issues. There's cases where some of these prices can be regulated by legal issues, regulatory stuff, government intervention, price controls. Healthcare is one area. You got utilities. You have any place where you have monopolies, for example, will be regulated by either the federal government or the state government here in the United States. Legal restrictions on price fixing and collusion, that's a real big act, a big deal. Customer legislation, and another one that's not mentioned on here is the a number of times if you have a company like Apple, for example, or Motorola, or some of these big companies will have brands, they'll have products that they don't want people discounting the new products. So what they'll do is they'll have their price list and they'll say, the minimum that you're allowed to sell this product for is this price. You can charge whatever you want as long as it's more than this minimum advertised pricing. So you got to be aware of that issue as well. Different methods of pricing, the way in which prices are determined depends on the company's pricing policy. And the pricing policy is a guiding philosophy or course of action that's designed specifically to influence and determine pricing decisions. And once a company has really kind of decided on what their pricing policy is going to be, then it's got to choose a pricing method. And a pricing method is a mechanical procedure for setting prices on a regular basis. So a lot of times you take cost, you just add a percent, and there's your price. And that's what we call cost-oriented pricing. You take a product, it costs you $10 to manufacture the product and actually ship it to a customer, and you decide that you're going to charge $20, you know, you're going to charge 100%. You're going to just double it. So you sell it for $20. Demand-oriented pricing, you have competition-oriented pricing. So we're going to talk about all three of these here in a little bit more detail. Cost-oriented pricing is the price of a product or service that's calculated and a specific margin is applied to derive a specific derive the selling price. And this is probably the most common method of pricing, and it's often used by companies for calculating the prices of their products or services. It does have the disadvantage of not taking into account the different economic aspects of supply and demand, and it often doesn't relate to pricing objectives. So what happens is companies can issue a price list for 2018, for example, and all of a sudden the price of lumber just goes up like crazy in March, and you either need to publish a new price list or you just bite the bullet and you end up taking less profit than what you thought you were going to do back in January. So that's one of the drawbacks that you have here with cost-oriented pricing. Demand-oriented pricing does allow for higher prices when demand is high and lower prices when the demand is low, regardless of the cost of the products or services. And again, lumber would be a great example of that. Earlier in 2017, we had a number of major hurricanes that went through the Caribbean into Texas, Louisiana area, caused heavy damage. And the price of lumber throughout the United States just escalated very quickly in a very short period of time during the fall months of 2017. That's an example of demand-oriented pricing. It allows you to make higher profits as long as the buyers value the products above the cost price. Competition-oriented pricing, the firm fixes the prices of the products and services in relation to what the competition is charging. It has the advantage of giving the firm the opportunity to increase sales at market share. You're almost comparing apples to apples, but then again, you got to be kind of convinced they have the same cost structure, they have the same business model that you have, so that you're kind of doing things, you know what they're doing, they know what you're doing, and you're just using competition-oriented pricing to buy more customers.